Welcome to the bonus Q&A for episode 105, and we have to start with the Krista health update.
I'm better, a little bit.
Are you? I don't think you are.
I mean, I'm not 100% better, but I'm definitely feeling better than I did on Tuesday when we recorded the podcast and I thought I was going to die. That wasn't great. That was a mistake. I shouldn't have done that.
No, I mean, I could tell that every minute counted. It was like you took some DayQuil or something, and it's like, all right, Well, now we have, you know, the clock is ticking to get through this podcast. So we did something. We trimmed down a few of the segments. We took out some news stories here and there. Yes. And yeah, by the end, you were a lifeless husk, but we made it, right?
Somebody in the comments today said, I could tell from her today that she wasn't feeling so good. It's true.
Yeah.
I am feeling a little bit better today. I feel like this thing has like a 4-day shelf life because others that we know in our lives have had it. And that is so far the data that we've collected is 4 days for you to get over it. So I'm on day 4 now, and I'm definitely starting to feel like I'm, you know, getting better. So yes.
Well, now we've each done a podcast whilst very sick. So you did this one. I did one, I think it was after Thanksgiving last year. I got a different kind of sickness that it's hard to podcast when you're coughing nonstop.
It is.
And I had one of those, and I don't know how I got through a couple of those where I was like, I need to have a coughing fit right now. But
yeah. I think there was a, in that episode, there was a few where we basically had to like mute the mic. Your mic.
Right.
In some spots because you were coughing, but yeah, talking a lot. A podcast is a lot more exhausting than I think you think.
But you're not, it's just a podcast. I can do it. It's not like I have to go out and chop wood for 4 hours. Like, I can get through a 2-hour podcast. And then at the end, you're like, why did I do that?
Yes, exactly. And it's like, it's fine. I'll be sitting down. I have my water, I'll be okay, like it'll be fine. But then it's, wow, that Metal Gear segment at the end of, I was like, if you don't shut up right now, I'm gonna keel over and die. That was like when I was really starting to feel it. So
anyway, well, what's done is done. Onward and upward. Now we have these Q's and A's. Let's begin with Jean-Marc D. This is one of the questions, but that we cut from the main podcast because you were not gonna make it. How did Nintendo higher-ups react when a game did not reach sales expectations? Would they say, you didn't market the game well enough, the quality wasn't up to scratch, launch timing was bad, was there a formal post-mortem process that took place to see what went wrong? So this is yet another follow-up to the Zelda sales conversation that we had.
Yeah.
What would happen?
This was such an interesting phenomenon within Nintendo, because if you're on the outside looking in, I think you would say like, wow, all of these Nintendo games, especially the big AAA titles, just do game busters and it's just breaking all sorts of records all the time. Like, look at it, just skyrocket to, you know, 20, 30 million copies within its life cycle, so on and so forth. But inside Nintendo was a very different picture, I think, of performance. First of all, like whenever we would do any sort of forecasting inside Nintendo, and that was a different team that did it, not the marketing team. It was like the analyst within the company that would do it. It would be like some of the most aggressive forecasts ever to be seen or heard ever. And you would go into it feeling like the sense of like, oh my gosh, are we going to be able to do this? So it's already very high pressured. And then when you meet the forecast, when you meet the impossible forecast, this happened to me with Smash. They were like, let's set this impossible forecast. And I was like already very nervous about it. We blow the forecast. We like met the forecast. We were so proud of ourselves. We did it. Grueling, you know, marketing cycle for that game. And they're like, oh, actually, we're going to change the forecast.
We raised the forecast.
The forecast you met was like the soft forecast. This is the real forecast. And it's like 20 million more. So you always kind of felt like, and the higher ups did make you feel like this, that you never achieved your goal. And that was hard. even with these big AAA games that were universally seen as successes outside the company, you always felt like a failure. So that part of it was pretty tough. And I think that's why we made that video about the Tears of the Kingdom sales, because we were on the inside and we were living that, where even these great sales numbers kind of meant nothing within Nintendo.
You would never blame the quality of the game. Like, there was too much reverence for the developers to ever say, like, this game sucks. Obviously, nobody wants to buy it. But we certainly did work on games that, you know, would get bad Metacritic scores. And those would come up. But it was never like, oh, this is the reason. It's like, this is a challenge that we now need to overcome and find some sort of a solve for. Launch timing, often bad, never came up. People would mention it. But it's like, well, what are we going to do now? The game's out. Now you have to sell it.
Yeah. Right.
There was a postmortem process that a lot more people took part in earlier on in our careers. Mm-hmm. A few years in, they changed that, and I don't know why. And I think it became, there was kind of this group of like very high level people who met to discuss launch timing and decide launch timing, and they would decide like the launch quantities. And I think they were the ones who had the ultimate say. So sometimes like we would feed information into these big meetings, but they were meetings that we never went to. And I don't know why they did that, because I think that would have been good to hear more from the people who were, you know, actually doing the work and hearing from partners, whether they're retailers or media or whatever, about like, why is this game not meeting expectations? Because I think it led to just a lot of
speculation,
maybe hypotheses that were not rooted in reality, and some groupthink, and just maybe some out there thinking that, yeah, we can turn these games around if we just keep working harder and tell the marketing team to do better, when in fact, it's kind of, we've done everything we can.
Yeah, that's true. And then there was this other thing that became sort of an over-reliance, which was this philosophy or this business practice that one of the executives at Nintendo sort of spearheaded, called PDCA, which is Plan, Do, Check, Act. And in concept, it's, you know, very logical. Like, you plan and then you execute the plan. That's the do part. You check to see how you're doing against your goals. That's the C. And then you act and, like, you know, make sure that you're, like, righting any wrongs. So, like, conceptually, it all kind of works and it makes sense. But it became this, like, crutch, I think, for people, like, the higher-ups in the company. They're like, well, did you guys do PDCA on this plan? It's like, what? Like, we just started working on it. Or, like, we met our forecast. Why do we need to PDCA this plan? We literally are in the D phase right now. Like, I don't understand what you're trying to say. So it became this like thing that people would ask you to do as just like, you know, they didn't have anything else to ask you, so they would ask you to do this. And it was a big joke, because we would have these plans that would run, you know, these like launch campaigns that would run for a launch of a game. And it would be like, we would snicker and make jokes like, okay, when is someone going to ask for the PDCA plan? And it almost guaranteed 100% that, like, the day after the game comes out, someone will ask you to do the PDCA plan. So you're like, well, why didn't I just come up with that already? Because you're going to ask me anyway, regardless of how good the game does or not. So it just became this like running joke, because it made no sense. And the expectations were just like endless on any campaign. So yeah, it became quite like, I don't know, discouraging, I guess, because you basically never met your goal. You never felt like you succeeded in anything. And then once you completed a plan, you have to do another plan.
This was one of the major reasons for burnout. And I think why a lot of people, you know, who were in roles that were day-to-day planning and executing campaigns just left, because this was when the treadmill became just too much to deal with.
Right.
Where your work became doubled. And then in that PDCA phase, it really was frantic. It was like, oh, we have to do this by tomorrow because time's a wasting and the opportunity's leaving us by. It was so funny. Somebody was like, it's not enough to do PDCA. It needs to be rapid PDCA.
Oh, yeah, it's rapid PDCA.
It actually needs to be super rapid PDCA. Excuse me? Super duper rapid? Are you slacking? Right. What's the deal? It's like, come on.
I forgot about that.
Can we just, oh, my gosh. Yes, we get it. We're all busy. We all want to pretend like we're super on it. But let's enough with the charade, please. Oh let's gosh, move on. I'm ready to
rapid
move on.
Rapid PDCA, yes.
This name it has a number of numbers after it. It's Matt 7683946 57.
It better not be your phone
number. I hope that's not a phone number.
Oh my God, Matt. Seriously, this is not like that call Jenny, whatever.
Yeah, that's the name though. The question is, unsure if this has been a question before. Hi, Kit and Krista, you guys are clearly friends inside and outside of work, so I would like to know what your reactions were to the Nintendo Minute comment section on YouTube, often stating that you guys hated each other. So it was either that or it was like, oh, there's some torrid love affair happening here. And oh. It's like, wow, we're really on both ends of the spectrum now. Okay, can't really make up our minds, but okay.
I always thought that was hilarious, and I thought to myself, and I would often tell Kit and producer Stephanie, like, if I really was pretending for that long, like, I deserve an Oscar. Like, give me the Lifetime Achievement Award at the Oscars, because I must be the most amazing actress in the entire world to be able to pretend to like somebody that I hated for – you know, 10 plus years, 493 episodes, I was able to like perfectly script myself and be just never let that facade fall from my, you know, from every Nintendo Minute video we did. I was like a perfect actress. Awesome. Like I should deserve an Oscar for that, I think. But I always thought it was hilarious that people think it's so easy to act like you like somebody. It's so hard. So if you actually didn't like somebody, you had to pretend like you liked them. I don't think you could do it for that long. I honestly don't. So it's pretty funny.
Yeah, I mean, we just had to laugh. And I mean, hopefully we exposed people to a wider range of, you know, human interactions and how human friendships can play out. Because that is how I am. Like with my closest friends, it's like it'll get pretty snarky, but it's not meant in like, you know, to inflict harm. It's like, no, we're so close that I can say this and you're not going to take it personally.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. Right. Yeah.
So yeah, that's literally all we could do is laugh. And I mean, if we ever got one that was like, oh, you know, they were really mean to each other, like we might take that to heart for the next time.
Yeah, there's one time where you actually asked me, you're like, was I too mean to you in this one episode? I'm like, no.
There may have been a couple where I veered into meanness, but...
But there was also like that one time during the scavenger NES game thing that we did recently where you literally yelled at me. That was pretty funny. Have that on camera.
Well, I mean, we
what's
started...
your excuse there, sir?
Well, we started the video and it was like, okay, this will be good. And then it ended up with 20 minutes of you trying to beat Glass Joe, which I was like, wow, this is killing the pace of this video right now. Everybody wants to see 20 minutes of you struggling to defeat the easiest character in video games. Cool.
It was fun.
Can the next challenge be you running, smashing into a Goomba in level one in World 1-1? Maybe that can be the next challenge.
Whoa.
Moving on again. Moving on again.
You're so mad.
This is a fun one from Zroid. What, in your estimation, is the most boomer thing about yourself? Bonus, same question, but for each other. So first yourself.
The most boomer thing for
Well, clearly
myself.
For you, it's nothing because you weren't even born in the 1900s. I mean,
I'm a geriatric millennial is what I think what we are supposed to call ourselves. The most boomer thing about myself, maybe that like I can't really see very well.
What?
I'm like a grandma. That's like that's actually not a really boomer
that's
thing.
That has nothing
boomer,
to do with it. Well, I'll do mine. I'll do mine.
Okay.
Is my insane focus on punctuality is definitely, I think, a boomerish
trait. Oh, this is a boomer thing?
And guess who I got it from? I got that from my father, who actually was a boomer.
Well, so, he's also in the military.
He was
so
also
that was why.
Yes, he was also a longtime military guy. So you know, from every angle, had that drilled into me. It was like the worst thing in the world that you can do is be
very
late. Like this is the
rude.
Ultimate sign of disrespect. Showing the other person who is waiting for you that you do not respect their time or whatever you had agreed to be doing.
I'm really feeling uncomfortable right now.
As the person who's regularly late, maybe you could take that to heart.
Do you really get mad at me when I'm late?
No.
I'm only 5 minutes late.
I just appreciate if it's going to be more than 5 minutes, just let me know. And I'll be totally,
I do let you know.
Yes, and I'm totally fine. It's like, okay, fine. And versus like me twiddling my thumbs of like any second, she's going to come in.
Sometimes
we're
it's like
thing.
five minutes.
That's fine. That's totally fine. And I do that too. I can't be perfect, but I'll always let you know.
Anyways, okay. So what are some other boomer traits?
Boomer,
I don't really know that many boomers. What does my mom do? She does a lot of weird stuff that only my mom would do. Like she believes in like the Chinese newspaper, which is stupid.
Oh, reading the newspaper, old media, reliance on old media. That's definitely
I do have a lot of nostalgia for old media. Like I do like miss a VHS from time
I don't
to
think
time.
That counts. I think if you were like, I will only watch a VHS.
Oh, no, no.
Because
no.
There was somebody at Nintendo who was very like, got the newspaper every day and would like sit down and read it.
Yeah.
And this person was older than us, but they weren't like that. I mean, they weren't like 70
they
years old.
They were boomers. Yeah. They
no,
were like,
they were not
like only like 10 years older
They're
than
probably
us,
like
that.
Older Gen X or something.
Yeah. Gen X.
But
yeah.
And nothing? You got nothing?
What do you think mine is?
Well, we have talked about your challenges understanding different people's points of views and perspectives. That's well documented. I don't know. Maybe people can fill us in. Now they people might know us well enough now that they can just say, well, clearly it's this.
Punctuality
it's
doesn't
that.
Yeah.
I think punctuality is a major.
You are quite I don't know if other people know this, but you are very like traditional, I think in your life. Like you do have like some of those like old school, like, you know, you're very traditional.
I have a bedtime.
That's true. You
do.
You're very strict with
yeah.
yourself, with your bedtime. You're very strict. Like you don't snack. You're very like, I only eat like the proper meals at the table. I think when you eat dinner, you
well,
do
I'm
not
sure
like
The Rock doesn't snack either, but he's not a boomer about it. I'm sure The Rock goes to bed
you're
on
very
time.
Like, you're like, dinner is dinner
maybe
time.
You would,
I don't
maybe
watch
you would
TV.
Not be in the throes of illness if you got enough sleep.
I do sleep a lot.
Well, these days you do.
Let's see.
It seems like you're sleeping 22 hours a day. Like
my
a cat.
My body needs to heal. But like at dinner time, do you like not watch TV or do you?
No.
See, you're
no.
very traditional.
Yeah.
All you right. live in like a nice house in a nice neighborhood.
Well, you've definitely turned it around on me, and
it's
clearly
no, it's a good, it's
clearly
cute.
You have no faults at all.
These are not
all right. Every single question. We're rage anyways. Quitting out of every question now. This is from Daniel X Harwood. Hey, Kit and Krista, I have a question about balancing multiple roles in a corporate office. I work in a public accounting as an auditor, but I also have a marketing degree and have worked in social media prior to this position. As such, I have recently taken on the role of making Instagram content around the office to be posted on the corporate account. This is totally outside of my job description, and I like to think of it almost as extracurricular activity. I was wondering what advice you had for balancing this role with my main role, as I know this is a similar situation to the one you were in for Nintendo Minute. Thank you.
Wow. I guess what is your ultimate goal in your career? Is it so that do you want to continue down the path of sort of what your main role is as an auditor and as an account manager? Is that like where you are truly passionate and want to grow it within your company? Or is it the other one that you're doing sort of as an extracurricular? Is it the social media and marketing stuff? Because I feel like one thing that is important to just kind of wrap your head around as you're doing two things is like make sure that you're putting the energy, the most of your energy into the thing that you are actually like most passionate about and that you're seeing growth opportunities in, or else, you know, you don't want to like get unbalanced and then sort of lose focus of that.
I think a good, other mindset is like, you know, am I personally getting something positive out of this? I forget who said this, but they're like a good adage, you know, when you ask yourself, should I do this, is like, does it make you happy or does it make you money? And those are, you know, two good outcomes. So, you know, maybe you enjoy doing this. That's great. Maybe you are getting some sort of professional fulfillment. that is different from your, like, quote, main job, or maybe you feel like you're developing a skill that's going to be valuable in the future, that's great. You know, it's probably unlikely, but, you know, there could be some chance where your employer sees this and is like, yes, you are doing this valuable role. So let's, you know, expand the scope of your job description and hopefully give you some sort of, you know, financial benefit from that. Like we certainly got no financial benefit of doing Nintendo Minute, and it was a lot more work, but it did make us very happy. And it was, you know, helping us to learn these new skills, which we're now applying every day today. So there was a purpose to it. I think it would have been very hard for us to keep going if it was like, what, why are we doing this? What is the benefit?
Yeah.
But you know, that's kind of the sad truth of a lot of jobs, is like a lot of people can end up doing this stuff and not really see a lot. And then as the employer, it's like, that's great. I'm getting this person to do, you know, double the work. That way to go, me, manager. So I think that's a good way to kind of keep evaluating this.
Yeah, I think, yeah, thinking about what your sort of ultimate goal is and how pieces of what you're doing feeds into that is important to just keep track of and make sure that you're like, you know, ticking those boxes like, okay, I'm doing this because it's benefiting me in this way or that way, and it's going to help me reach XYZ goal in the future.
Also, make sure your boss knows. Because it may be something where they can help give you credit or, you know, speak to the extra work that you've taken on. But a lot of times, like when people would do this at Nintendo, a lot of times their bosses had no idea.
Yeah.
And I thought, I don't know if it's because they thought they liked doing it, but maybe their boss would be mad that they're doing something outside of their main job or for whatever reason. A lot of times it just went unrecognized by these clueless bosses.
Yes.
Yeah. Streetball 44 is next. Hello. Will you be visiting the 8-4 Play offices when you go to Japan? If so, is it possible to do a podcast there or some sort of collaboration with them?
Oh.
This is a strong yes. This is one of the musts. We must plan our trip around a time that they're available. I think it would be great if we could be on their podcast and some combination of them could do something with our podcast. I love them. I love their podcast. I've actually been to their old office in Japan when I went many, many, many years ago. And they had a cool thing like the Nintendo studio has now, where it was just like a big white wall and everybody would like all the, you know, visitors would sort of sign their name. And I wonder if they found a way to keep that or bring that with them or something. Because they had, I mean, they had like real, like legit people. Like big name.
Scrape it off the wall.
Big name game developers. And that's actually, we actually did that idea at an E3 one year. We absolutely stole that from them. It was
where'd
like,
where'd it go? Where is that thing?
Great question. Somebody hopefully has it. But it was a year we had a lot of developers coming and we all had them sign this big board, which was like on the way up to the quote business area of the booth, so all the visitors could see and get like kind of like a warm welcome and see like, oh my gosh, it's a who's who of video game developers. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so cool. Yeah. I love them. When I was in Japan before, we've met up and hung out before. They're awesome guys. So I think that was one of our main things is wanting to, visit some of our Japan friends in person and do collaborations with them. So that's 100%. A must do on our Japan trip itinerary for sure.
Yeah, I've known those guys for a long time and I met them sort of at different points. So John, who's like one of the, you know, original founders of 8-4, I met them because this is when I was working at Konami. They would often be sent when we would go to TGS, like they would be like a correspondent, often for 1UP, 1UP.com.
That's right. Yeah.
And they were like, well, you know, 1UP couldn't send all the people or there were too many events. So we're their sort of extended correspondent and they would often help them with translation as well. If they did have an editor who needed help doing, you know, translation stuff. So I met him through that. Mark, who he no longer even works at 8-4, but I actually met him my very first day working in video games when I went on this kind of, you know, smash dash tour of all the video game media that were in San Francisco. So I've known him forever. And then there's some other people who I haven't met yet, but I you know, listen to their podcast so much. I've learned a lot about them. So yeah, that's a definitely a must for this trip. Spacey Poo, that's a fun name, is the next question. Sup, Kit and Krista, I was wondering, will you guys ever re-upload the Nintendo Minute videos? I just watched your Nintendo podcast appearance, and you mentioned a Hades character bracket that would be awesome to go back to. I'm assuming it would be hard to just upload them to YouTube because of the copyright, but I'm wondering what, if anything, you guys will do with them. Thanks.
Well, we have them, yes. Have to find a way to safely show it to you guys in a way where we will not get sued, because we do not own this content. I have heard that, and I did see that a lot of this was on Facebook still. So yes. If you would like to go on Facebook, I certainly don't like going on Facebook, but if you'd like to go on Facebook, I believe some of the episodes are still there. And I think that Hades one is probably there. Because I did see some of the Animal Crossing episodes that we filmed around the same time was there.
Yeah, those were kind of last year to 2 years that we were doing it. So
those are there.
There could be a good chance those are up there. Yeah, I mean, it's something where we'd like to do something with it, but it's hard to gauge, like, Nintendo could be fairly aggressive with it. Because, again, it's content that they own and that they, you know, they had their reasons for taking it down. So wouldn't want to like poke the bear by doing that. And it's one of those things where like we never had an official conversation with them about exactly why they did it. I mean, we have our hypotheses, but it's hard to say. So, you know, in the meantime, we're glad we have them. They're safe. They're they're available at just a fingertip away.
Yeah, but I use them all the time for like little clips that I need to pull for podcasts when we tell stories or if we need to go back to something. I do have them and I reference them. And those little clips have not triggered or angered anyone over at Nintendo. So that's good.
And something that I think we had talked about briefly, but I should probably ask him is, you know, would the Video Game History Foundation want to get just a full set of these for their records, because it is it is, you know, lost media in video games, and there are some noteworthy things there and you know,
there's a lot of developers.
So I think he would probably say yes.
It chronicled a lot of the launch of Switch and you know, having those developer conversations with you know, Koizumi-san and Takahashi-san, those guys that, you know, really developed the system. So like that is kind of an important part of media that probably don't want to just sit in my house.
right.
Yeah. But I have them.
Yeah.
And I'll keep them safe until further notice.
Last question is a two-parter tag team with Paul Gale and Riven. Hey, Kit and Krista, Marvel just showed off the trailer for their upcoming animated series, X-Men 97, which is
It looks so good.
Which is a continuation of the three-decade-old classic. I think it looks great and was wondering if you're excited for it. Also, what's your favorite X-Men game / what would be your ideal modern take on the IP? And then Riven adds on, who is your favorite X individual and why?
I think it looks amazing.
So this is like a three-part question. Are you excited?
I'm very, very excited. I watched that trailer this morning and was just like really relieved that it kind of has the same vibe as the original animated series back in the 90s when I was a kid and watched it. I don't know if I watched the entire like thing sequentially. I know that this one picks up like right after the end of where the last one ended. So I might need to like refresh my memory on exactly what happened. But yeah, it feels just like the old days. I love it. It's great. I'm excited.
I love the original as well. That was like a Saturday morning go-to for me.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like very, very heavy into comics too. And that's when the X-Men, like if you weren't there, like the X-Men was like the biggest thing in comics back then. Like that's when like Jim Lee was doing it, who's this incredible artist. And he had like, I think, the best depiction. Maybe you and I should do like what, because so they had two different comics then. They had Uncanny X-Men and just X-Men.
Yeah.
And they had two different teams. They had the gold team, which was the Uncanny X-Men team, and the blue team, which was just X-Men. So like this morning we were doing something. So I went to this event in San Francisco. I spent the morning at this and you did not go. So it's like we broke into two different teams. Would you rather be the gold team or the blue team?
I'm going to be the gold team.
Good, because I want to be the blue team.
Okay, that's perfect. A deal.
We can use that when we ever have to split up. And
we do that sometimes. We do have to divide and conquer sometimes.
Especially this morning. I mean, you were really talking yourself into a tizzy because you were like, oh, this Nintendo Direct and then the Xbox thing and it's all connected and what are we going to do? And you got to go to this event and yada, yada, yada. And lo and behold, not much actually happened.
Not much happened. Oh, it's past 2:00. Did the shadow drop happen? No.
Why don't you go check?
Because
you seem
right
very
now
concerned. You are now living, you know, Vin Diesel lives his life a quarter mile at a time. You live your life an hour at a time checking tweets. So way to go. cool life you've made for yourself.
Ain't nothing.
So we've decided that you're the gold team and I'm the blue team.
You're
good.
The blue team.
The blue team's better. What is your favorite X-Men game?
My favorite X-Men game is X-Men Legends.
Yes. Just make another one of those. Make a new one of those.
Make a new X-Men Legends. Remaster the one on GameCube. Don't do anything crazy to it.
Well, what if you did this? What if you make it X-Men Legends 97 and you made it look like a cartoon? There we go.
Yes. I love it.
There we go. We did it.
Do that and have it be like online multiplayer and it's going to be so cool. And I would play the heck out of that game. I love it.
This may surprise some people, but I do have to give some props to the Genesis X-Men game, the first one on Genesis, a long time ago.
I don't know if I played that one.
It's like a 2D, you know, action adventure platformer kind of game, but they did a really good job of like matching the vibe. The look of it was really perfect. They had a lot of different characters that you could switch through. It's not perfect, but it's definitely miles and miles and miles better than one of the worst games that I've ever played, which I was suckered into buying, Spider-Man and X-Men Arcade's Revenge.
Oh, yeah. You hate that game.
Somebody in the Discord posted, I guess one of the developers for that, like, shared some background about how they made that game in, like, a month. And, like, it was Acclaim was the publisher, and, like, Acclaim just did all these, like, ridiculous things to hamstring them. So it's like, I get it. Like, this definitely feels like a game that was made under duress. And I was under duress playing it as well because it was awful.
Should we play X-Men Legends again? Like, should we play it now?
I absolutely have it at the ready. I had that game in my
can
office at Nintendo.
It?
We could.
We have a GameCube in the office now.
We do. We have a lot of things in the office, yes.
I would love to do that.
Other great X-Men games.
Yeah, what other?
There was that X-Men Wolverine game.
I was just looking at that.
X-Men Origins Wolverine. One that was like super duper violent.
Yeah, that,
and part
that's
of me is like,
right,
this Insomniac Wolverine game, like, I don't really know what it's going to be, but it seems like it would be a game like that.
Well, but is Spider-Man, Insomniac Spider-Man, super violent? I don't
know. No, but Spider-Man, like, the powers of these two characters are so different. Like, Spider-Man has mobility on his side. He can zip around. He can jump fast. Yeah. He can run up a wall. Wolverine's just a dude. Like,
he's a wolf and a man.
Well, I'm like, what kind of depth can they give this game to make it more than just a beat 'em up? I'm sure they'll get
Marvel's
there.
Marvel's Wolverine.
But I'm really curious. Yeah, the one where there were all those terrible, you know, break-ins on their development stuff.
Yes.
I'm very excited about that. The last part of this question, who's your favorite X individual and why?
Storm.
Oh, Storm.
100% Storm. I love
Tell us
Storm.
Why, though.
I always play a Storm in X-Men Legends. I don't know. I just love any sort of character that has, like, a ability to control the elements. Like, I love, like, the pure power of a superhero that can control, like, nature, you know? This might be very agey, a thing that ages me, but, like, I remember, like, do you guys remember that cartoon Captain Planet when you were little? Yeah. Like, I love how all those little you know, planeteers or whatever they're called, they would, like, control an element, and I love that about Storm. So, she's a favorite.
I did not watch Captain Planet. Storm's a great character. When I was watching like the original X-Men animated series and reading all those comics, my favorite was Gambit.
Oh, Gambit.
But now in hindsight, I'm like, what was so appealing about Gambit? I don't know. First of all, Gambit's costume is one of the more baffling things.
I'm going to look at Gambit right now.
He's wearing like a bodysuit that is black and purple that has this weird thing on the chest. It's like, what is that? And like half of it's covering his head, but half of it isn't.
Yes.
And then he's got a trench coat over that.
The hair is like...
He looks like a Yakuza. He's a Sujimon. He looks like a character that you would get in Yakuza. Looks like a weirdo.
But what's Gambit's power?
So his power was he could pick something up. Remember, he had the deck of cards.
Yes.
And he would charge it with kinetic energy, and he could throw it. Blow up.
Yeah. Jean Grey's pretty cool, too.
I never felt like I had a perfect grasp on his powers. I usually like to really like drill down on the powers and know like the specifics of the powers. With his, it was always like a little bit like, that's the main thing he can do, but there's some other things that they would do like for funsies occasionally of like, oh, did you know he could do this? Wow. So I'm going to change my answer. It's a boring answer, but I think it's Wolverine. I think there's
Wolverine's pretty awesome.
I mean, there have been so many good stories with Wolverine in comics over the years. Like his origin is super interesting. His powers, like with the healing, I think are really interesting. And like they've definitely like done some crazy things with those where it's like, oh, did you know he could survive this? And he totally just like comes back. So that is
Rogue. I like Rogue too.
That is the most basic that's the most basic answer, but I think that's my very honest answer as well. So I like Wolverine.
Yeah. There's so many good characters. There's Rogue. There's Phoenix. Psylocke. Oh, wow.
Well,
we really need X-Men to come back like immediately. The other thing that I saw today that was like a little teaser was like, oh, they might include like Hellfire Gala in this new show too. And I was like, what?
Oh, really?
I got really excited.
Oh, would they do that? Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
I don't know. I love Hellfire Gala.
So if you read X-Men comics now, like, they basically restarted and they have a very different premise to them, but it's very good.
It's so good.
It's really good. They did have a bit of an issue where there's too many X-Men comics. So they have this really cool story that I think they're spreading too thin.
It's across true. That, like the 20, ending of that was
20 different series where I'm like, I can't keep up with this. The quality is all over the place. You should have maybe just a couple.
Three.
and really focus on making the main story good and understandable in those. But yeah, that was very cool. I hadn't thought of that at all. That would be really neat.
It was like a throwaway. Someone was like rumored to include these things. And I was like, oh, I see. Really?
So are you excited for the Deadpool movie as an adjacent question to this?
Yes, of course. I love Deadpool. I'm ready for them to do something not lame with Marvel, please.
Well, in that trailer, like in the first like 10 seconds of that trailer, it's Deadpool who shows up. I thought, we're the TVA. And I was like, can we get off of this?
Can we please get off of this? Everything connected. We really, this is the danger of the multiverse, telling you guys.
It's true.
The danger of the multiverse and how it becomes just convoluted and stupid.
Yeah.
Let it be, you know?
I still definitely want to see it. I think it'll be good. And I think they'll overcome whatever nonsense Marvel makes them do.
Yeah. At least that one is like humorous and different. Like
exactly.
Not so serious.
Exactly.
Which is good.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. It's a very healthy bonus Q&A with a becoming more healthy Krista. Hopefully all the way healthy for next week. All the stuff that with Xbox that happened today, we're just going to cram that all into next week's podcast. That's probably going to be a major segment of next week's podcast, so you can look forward to that. All right.
Yeah.
Back for your eighth nap of the day. You go. We'll see everybody later. Bye.
Bye.